All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? On a sunshiny Tuesday afternoon in the big city, it's Barry Laminack, it's Nick Sciarra, and yours truly, Joel Blank, as we are The Usual Suspects, and we are here to entertain you for the next 3 hours, as we do Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. And, boys, I gotta say, Barry's got an issue that I tend to agree with him on. It's kind of crazy how, unless we show up earlier than early in this station, we kind of get the short end of the stick a lot of times.
We never get food when they brought delicious Pinkerton's barbecue. And I get here and there's none. Now, I would like to put an asterisk on this. I wouldn't have eaten this anyways because I'm on a diet. Right. But that's not the point. The point
is... Now, think about this, Barry. You could be like Jong, and you could have made yourself two plates, taken it home, and then on a day when you could eat it, you would have had it.
Well, I'm kind of... it probably would have gone bad by then because I told myself I'm not going to have a cheat meal or a cheat weekend until I get to 182, which would officially be, 30 pounds? Yeah, 212 to 182. That's 30 pounds, right?
That means you gain a half inch.
So
you're staying pretty disciplined, Barry.
Oh, an inch.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man. So, yeah,
because there's no way I would have, if I was on it, I would have just crushed it. This time it was easy for me to let it go just because I didn't want to be the guy.
Well, you're not selfish like the interns. Why is Trey getting the barbecue, the most delicious, succulent barbecue ever, and he's in there stuffing his face with it? And then Tyler, a hardworking producer at this very station, shows up for some delicious barbecue, and Trey's big ass has already ate it all.
And you went big ass on him, too.
Well, I mean, he ain't tiny.
Well, here's the problem with Trey, right, is he's not even concerned about the best part of the brisket, which is the meat, right? He sat there and he lamented about this outside part right here. It must take days for them to prepare this and then have it like this, but it is the best. It tastes so good. And I'm like, you're missing the point. The brisket is the meat part too. Yeah, but this outside part, it's...
Yeah, and then they leave potato salad. There's some potato salad.
Pickles,
left.
Coleslaw.
Yeah, some coleslaw.
But Raheel used to do the same thing with saltgrass. They're done, hey, FYI, we had saltgrass today. By the time I roll in there and Wes is on his third plate and second dessert, there's no chance for us to get any grub.
It's at least the other intern that was answering the phones for Unfiltered.
Michael?
Yeah, at least he was working. At least he was doing something. Trey's just sitting around going over his draft board like anyone cares.
Oh, it was intern Robert, I think. It was intern Robert.
Was it Robert?
Yeah, Michael, Robert was whatever. The one that was eating away. But whatever, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. He was working. Whoever was manning the phones was working, at least. No, not Trey. I walk in, he literally sat there the entire time.
Let the record show, when Barry says Trey was going over his draft boards, this was nothing on a computer. This was nothing on paper. This was just one of the random thoughts that pops into Trey's head.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He did just say, he was like, I forget what he was talking about. I try to tune him out. He's kind of like a spouse.
Oh, boy.
Where he's just like.
What time is it? Okay.
Go ahead. As soon as you start hearing the voice, you're just like, click. Bloop, bloop. Yeah, I'm watching TV.
The thing is, too, on his draft board, he'll just randomly fire the name off and then go, I think that's wrong. I don't think that's well. Yeah, okay. And I'm just going, Trey, if you just wait 5 seconds, like I said to Nick in front of Trey, I said, if Trey would just have the radio delay of 7 seconds, a lot of times you could kind of weed out the back and forth. Because what was it, 4 or 5 times a day, he'd say something and we'd go, really? No, that's not true. Yeah. I didn't do that. And then change. I'm like, if we just cut that middle part out with the 7 second delay, Trey's golden.
I just don't understand why we're always the last ones to get food here. I literally have never, other than yesterday when they brought Wingstop while we were on air.
That's right.
I've never had food here.
I mean, I'm here early, unlike you two.
Oh, so, whoa. Because a lot of times I've got food too, but okay.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Jeez, people should see his face right now, too, because he's just cackling away at us.
Well, I don't know. At least tomorrow we get to partake in some delicious
Friday too.
I miss out on that. Every time you guys are on remote, I miss out on the great food at all the great places that you go to.
I don't know when I'm going to be able to eat at Pinkerton's on Friday. Maybe I'll just have some turkey or something. I don't know.
Turkey and chicken, right?
Yeah, I guess I'll just have to do that. That's a damn shame I'm fat.
Tomorrow
I was fat.
Tomorrow, what are you going to get tomorrow?
Probably just like a chicken sandwich or something. Yeah whatever. Hey, did you guys watch, do you guys have Netflix?
I do.
Did you by chance watch the new Chappelle?
I did not. Well,
everybody was talking about it last night.
It is fire.
Way smarter than I gave him. Well, actually, I have given him credit for being a really smart dude, but like every time I see him do an interview, yep, and just see some of his comedy, you really notice how smart the guy is.
I got to tell you, as a comic, I watch that and I think, I literally just want to go to my notes and just delete them all and throw everything I've ever written away because you're just like, I'll never be that great.
But you're making a good living doing what you're doing.
That's relative.
It's like basketball players in the NBA some of them are never going to be Michael, Kobe, or LeBron, but they're still doing it.
Yeah, but you don't understand, when you look at it, you look at, I'm sure people don't look at Jordan and then, as basketball players and then go, well, you know, I can't dunk like that, or my shot's not like that. You don't think like that. Well, as a comic, when you look at what Chappelle just released, I look at it and think, I might as well be telling knock knock jokes for 30 straight minutes. The difference is that wide in how people were making comments, and it's true about how he looks like he's just up there just talking to you, just telling you a story, mm-hmm, and you forget that it's jokes.
Oh, is
and
that
you forget
just that it's comedy. He just has that natural gift?
Well, one, it's that he's really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
how did he get that good?
Some dudes just have it,
that's
man.
What I
Chappelle
mean.
Has been a killer for, I was showing Jong back when he was on Def Comedy Jam back in 89 or 90 or something like that. I mean, some dudes just have that, some dudes are just naturally good. You know what I mean? Chappelle is one of those guys. He's that elevated status. He's like in the LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, of comics, but man, he just makes it look effortless. You know, it's really good. So if you have Netflix and you're a fan of comedy, check them both out. One of them I liked. It was more formal. It was done at the Palladium in LA, and it was kind of a more formal setting, like more of a special. And the second one was done at Austin City Limits in Austin, and it was a little more relaxed. He's sitting on a stool smoking a cigarette talking to the crowd. So a different vibe to the two specials, but both really good.
I like the fact that he's honest too, because they had him on, I think, CBS This Morning, and they asked him why two, and he goes, the money.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to, telling you how, well, keeping it real, the money.
Throughout each of those, he talks about things. Like, he's like, he talks about his kids at school, and he's talking about how he sometimes he'll eat his kids' lunches. And I don't want to ruin it for people, but he's basically like, you know, my kid goes to school with a bite out of his sandwich. But I'm like, yo, your dad's Dave Chappelle. That sandwich is worth a lot of money. You could give that to someone. You could trade it for like some new shoes or something. Like, he's like, he gets the fact that he's Dave Chappelle, that he's, you know, famous. And all. It's really good. It's what he does is he takes kind of, you know, everyday life for him, and he makes it relatable to you somehow. Like, you feel what he's doing. You know, it's very cool. So. Yeah, don't forget, guys, today is Way Back Wednesday, so we're doing a little bit different. We're not going to tell you whose list is whose. So at the end, we'll put those up and let y'all vote on Twitter for
You guys got tired of losing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see my tweet this morning?
Yeah.
It was never supposed to be a competition, but I just said, you know what? Well, at least I threw in the towel with a W. But at the same time, I just decided, you know what? It's not a competition. These are the tunes that I like, that I live by, so I'm just throwing them out there.
Yeah. All right, so we're not going to say whose list is whose, right?
We're not.
Okay.
So this is somebody's song.
This is somebody's song.
And whether you want to know that person or not, like it. Just go ahead.
All right. Hey, guys, I want to tell you a minute. If you're trying to sell your home and you need to sell it quickly, the folks over at Go State Home Buyers are telling you to talk to them, and they'll make you a cash offer. You're trying to get out of your house. You're trying to do it fast. You need to get that money, but maybe you can't because you have back taxes, delinquent HOA dues, divorce, bankruptcy. You're going through a foreclosure, maybe even unemployed right now. Give the guys at Gulf State Home Buyers a call, 281- 717-6100 and let them help you. They'll make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from the beginning all the way through closing. Sit back, relax. They're professionals. They're going to take care of it. All you have to do is give them a call. They have attorneys, title companies, and in-house professionals that walk you through the entire process. 281-717-6100. Call them. Get a clear understanding of the situation that you're in, whether you're having title issues or you just need to get a quick close. They're going to help you, but you got to give them a call. 281-717-6100. That's Gulf State Home Buyers. Or visit them on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com. Your bad jam, make them look and spend his cash, eh? His last hand, fool around with your passion. They mad jam, you can ride in the Jag, eh? With that hand, you can smoke up by your bag, eh? I'm tail, yeah, got money, I can flash, eh? And trash, eh? I'm a big time, I'm eating, yeah. Pull the trigger, yeah. I'll play it, a flipper, yeah. Grand filler, yeah. I'm just slanging wood, yeah. Out the hood, yeah. Better be on the school, yeah. It's all good, yeah. Got a new swimming long, yeah. On the hard, yeah. A cool little broad, yeah. I'm on the drug, yeah.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So there's a technicality. What was the people at the Oscars?
Huh?
The guy, the backstage
Rich?
People, that, the,
Rich?
The guy that screwed it all up.
Oh, I don't
with
know.
With his the mixed up suitcases. So that's why I said it doesn't matter who wins or loses. We're just playing our tunes.
It does matter.
Okay.
I want to destroy your faces. Okay. I just want to pummel both your faces into the ground.
Nick,
way
he's
back
tired of getting that meme of the guy just dropping L's.
So my apologies. This is the official song.
The second one?
The second.
Eliminate okay. MJ. Insert third base.
Yeah.
So okay. we'll give it some due here.
Give it some run.
This is me.
In more ways than one.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Huh?
In more ways than one.
Yeah, yeah. You must be playing it from YouTube.
It's the official video.
Is it?
Okay.
Gilbert Godfrey, by the way, if you don't know, he's one of the filthiest comics on the planet.
Like in real life and on
yes,
stage?
Like on stage, he's filthy.
But like him MTV and Bob Saget, made him like a... Oh, Bob Saget is really
Saget.
Raunchy.
Yeah, Bob Saget is like definitely the anti-Full House
well,
on
he's,
stage.
Yeah, he said... They said he has that. He had that reputation on the Full House set where he was just really filthy.
Yeah, he is.
In front of the girls and everything.
But like Gilbert Godfrey was made through the MTV era. But everybody thought he was just this, you know, strange talking guy that was everywhere. But his stand-up was like night and day, right?
What do you mean?
Like night and day. He was
filthy. Yeah.
Where everybody saw that.
And he's kind of corny, too. Like, he tells, like, it would be like, you know, if your friend did open mic. It's kind of like those jokes. Like, it's like, so there's these two Jews and they're at the barn. Like, it's... I mean, some of it's funny, but I don't know. It's not my thing. But he's filthy, and so is Bob Saget. They're two of the worst. By the way, did you see Artie Lang got arrested again? Poor guy.
Again?
That dude got arrested for... He's like, it's depressing now to read his Twitter because he's just like, sorry, guys, I'm trying, which is the worst because you're just like, oh, God, you know he's just you know, it in the lowest point of his life, and it's on social media. I don't know that I would take to Twitter... He got arrested for drugs again in New York, I think.
Dude, he can't
push
away from him.
Looks
awful. Yeah. Yeah.
My God, that mugshot looks
it's
bad.
Just came on crashing. Like, he was just, you know, the arc was kind of moving up again a little bit. He was on crashing. He's got a recurring role on there on HBO.
You can't push away from him, man.
God, that's so sad, dude.
You took that awful right out of my file cabinet, Nick. That's in my wheelhouse.
Awful.
Awful.
Awful and phenomenal.
Yeah, that is
awful
that
and
is
phenomenal. That's the end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I was going to say those are two complete different.
So we were talking about Gilbert Godfrey too, but one guy I wanted to always ask you about was Pauly Shore, because again on MTV he was one way, but how was he as a stand-up comedian?
Below average. Okay. Pauly Shore is as popular as he is comedically because his mom owns the Comedy Store in L.A.
Oh,
Mitzi. So he was always given spots and preferential treatment and so forth. And so, yeah, like he was just recently at my home club here in Houston, the Joke Joint, maybe, I don't know, 9 months ago or something like that. And I went down to see it because my buddy was hosting it. And so I sat through the whole thing, and he literally maybe had 4 or 5 minutes worth of actual funny material, and the rest of it was just playing off of his old MTV days and his old movies.
Oh, so he would go back and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he's the Weasel.
Because I'm the Weasel.
He did all that, but you could tell he was just like, I don't want to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he kind of has to. That's the only reason people are coming to see him. But it was packed. I mean, the place was packed, and
dude, back in the day too, he used to roll through ladies.
He
played it right.
The bad part is that at the Joke Joint, the green room was kind of right off of the showroom, and so people can see you coming in and out. And he didn't really want to be seen, so he had to pee. And you share a bathroom at the Joke Joint. There is no bathroom just for the comedians.
You share it with the general public.
Yeah, like if you got to pee, you go into the main bathroom and pee with the rest of the public. And Pauly didn't want to do that, so he went out and peed by the dumpster. He didn't want to pee next to the people, so he's out there by the dumpster, and then he just walks in, and I'm like, bro, you didn't wash your hands. That's so gross. Oh,
there's our man with hygiene.
The list. And then there he goes, shaking everybody's hand after the show. I'm like, penis hand, penis hand, penis
wow.
hand.
He's on the
penis
list.
Hand. Penis hand. Like, oh, y'all got Pauly Shore penis on your hands now. Congratulations. Like, oh, God.
Back in the day, there were a couple of girls that would probably enjoy that. But
yeah, they'd lick their palm. But there was at one point, like, no one left. Like, when he got done, he was like, all right, I'll meet you on the lobby. I'm going to go take a break for a minute. And he went to the green room and sat around for, like, 10 minutes, changed shirts, got a glass or a bottle of water. And no one left. And then he went out into the lobby and sat down, and the line formed. And everyone stayed to either get a picture with him or get an autograph. It was amazing. But that's that core following. You know, like he couldn't do that 6 times over a weekend with 6 shows. It's literally 1, maybe 2 shows, and that's it. But it wasn't funny. He had one reference to how he was the Pauly that made MTV great, and that the not the Pauly from the Jersey Shore that ruined it or something like that. But and it was a pretty funny joke, but the rest of it was just, what you would probably
expect.
And
it's funny,
too,
because you say he references it. He has to reference his stuff from MTV. Yeah. It's like when you go to, for one, Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. You go to see the Pretenders, you want to hear all the great hits. But was it Brass in Pocket? She hates the song.
Yeah.
It's like overdone.
Yeah.
So she's like, she'll say, if you guys want this, I'm not here to do this because I hate it. Well, but part of the reason the people are sitting in front of you today still is because of songs like that that they want to hear. And I think that's what the people sometimes get salty about.
Oh, yeah.
They got to remember that's what paid the bills
it's
for a long time.
It's what made you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what, it's one of those things where, you don't have to. Like, he doesn't have to do these, shows anymore. But if you do them, that's what you're signing up for, is people to come watch you beat the Weasel
and all that.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where if I was Larry the Cable Guy, people ask me that all the time. In fact, me and my comic buddies have this debate. Would you sell out to make the money that Larry the Cable Guy had? Because he's made hundreds of millions of dollars.
And then he's getting endorsement deals acid reflux medicine.
And people are like, would you have a shtick like that where you wore the sleeveless shirt and just yelled, get her done all the time? I was like, hell yes, I would sell out for $100 million in a heartbeat. Someone give me a shtick right now to do and promise me a couple mil. I'll do it.
You realize how big he is? He played in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Yeah.
In that outfit. And got away with it.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, who's playing Pebble Beach in a sleeveless camo, half shirt, and because he's Larry the Cable Guy?
Larry the Cable Guy is. Somebody said, do interns get paid on text? Nope. And, hey, Barry, have you caught Amy Schumer's special? No, because everyone has told me how horrible it is. And I'm not a huge Amy Schumer fan, so I'm not going to watch it. But everyone is saying it was pretty pathetic. So, nope, right. Not doing
it. I'll tell you what's not pathetic. Coach Kevin McHale will be joining us coming up after the break, so that'll be good. We'll get Coach Mack in here to get his opinions on everything from the college NCAA tournament and if he's watching it and breaking it down like he would be when he was a general manager to what's going on in the NBA. And, of course, we can retouch on what I've asked him in the past about rest for the sake of rest and missing big games. We got all that coming up and a whole lot more with the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. Jumped in that blood, I sight your shades, pushing blades, let the foes burn rubber. I swung and I swang, you know what swing, hit the beltman and the king, Europeans with the screams, big old folks swanking, everything cash, glass pop red, foes with wood in the dash, mashing on the gas, here's a thug like green, front boy, young, I see knocking the beam. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You smell that? It smells like rodeo in the air. Because it is in the air. It's Rodeo Houston time. Livestock Show and Rodeo is here. And Chris Young is performing tonight. This is his song, Think of You. It's a duet. Cassidy Pope. Did you know that?
Just because I saw it on
YouTube. I totally knew that. No, I didn't.
Do you know Cassidy Pope, Nick?
Of course. But you guys can catch Chris Young at the rodeo. Just $18. You can see the music, the rodeo, the action, the shopping, the dining, the carnival, all that. For just $18, that's a hell of a deal. Get your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com for Chris Young.
I heard ZZ Top put on a hell of a show last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Did you? Have you ever had that dude's guacamole?
Who? What? That sounds like a loaded tweet that you got like on a broadcast like there.
Like a euphemism?
Yeah, well, no? You know, it's. I don't know if that was, with cider?
There was.
I'm not going anywhere near that,
our
just
boy's
so you
Kirsten
know.
Damn near drove off the road right then.
Sorry.
No, there was an HEB commercial where one of the guys was like, yeah, I'm famous for my guacamole. He's in there filling on all
Billy
the avocados.
Or
I don't know which one, bro. I don't
one
know.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah, they all look alike to me.
I know that the resident expert on everything back there, Patrick Creighton went last night. So
oh,
I was
he
asking
did.
Him about it. And I said, I couldn't believe they were still performing. And he was talking about they still sounded pretty good. And no matter when it came up, over about a 45-minute span, Trey would just chime in. I just heard they had bright lights. I heard the lights are great. I just heard that they had a lot of lights. I said, dude, during the holidays, do you just get paralyzed? And he's like, nah, my grandma and I used to take a walk or we'd drive and then we'd see the lights and then we'd just stop and check them out. I'm like, yeah, it's called being paralyzed by the lights. Okay. All right. So we got that going for us.
Yeah. OU Mike wants to know what I think of Dave Attell as a comedian. I actually like Dave Attell. He's a funny dude.
I'm not familiar.
Pretty dark, pretty dirty, but really funny, man. And the amount of stuff that he pumps out is unbelievable. Like his the volume of work he does is really good. So, cool. Yeah, I like him.
All right, without further ado, and we'll get back to the Usual Suspects angle. We have the Hall of Famer, as always. We gave him another week off last week. We're very generous with him. But we do appreciate his time. Kevin McHale joining us again, as he does weekly on the show. Coach, sorry to get in the middle of your ball striking session. In one way or another, we'll call this a ball striking session because we'll get some things that get to you. But first and foremost, you got your general manager hat still on the way you would normally look at the NCAA tournament, watching it like a hawk. And what stands out to you in the first couple weeks?
Well, you know what? I didn't think there was a dominant team all year long. I thought some teams played well. I thought Duke had found rhythm with the ACC tournament, but then of course they get beat. I don't see a team out there that you go like, man, this team is definitely is the favorite. There's about four or five teams: Arizona, I think UCLA. The teams I look at, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, they got hot at the right times, but I just don't know if they shoot the ball well enough to be able to go on. There's a bunch of teams I like, but you know, Nova gets canned, and I thought that with their ability to play small and just kind of play a unique style, drive and kick, a lot of penetration, a lot of stuff off the dribble, put pressure on the team. But on the other team, but you know, right now it's wide open. I mean, I look at this and you know, and I just I don't see any team that you go, wow, I see a lot of really good players. So, like, you know.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about.
His dad must be, you know. But Lonzo Ball can really play. I mean, he might be my favorite player in the tournament left. He just moves the ball. He just does a lot of little things, and he controls the game without shooting the ball. And there's very few people that can do that, and he's one of those guys. And I just, you know, I like watching UCLA play because of it.
Would his dad scare you off as a general manager?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. Not even one bit. That kid can play. I mean, he makes everybody better. I think his teammates really like playing with him. And when you get in the NBA, you got to remember now, you're going to have older guys that are just going to, you know, they're going to bust his chops. I mean, they might see his dad and, you know, give him a ration of crap. Like, hey, Pops, what's wrong with you? You know, and it's different. It's not like you got a bunch of, you know, college kids and young kids. You got adults. You got a lot of grown men in the NBA, and they're not going to. Yeah, that's not going to bother them at all. I mean, they probably, like I said, will probably get more of a chuckle out of it than anything else. I know I would.
But don't you think, Coach? You said it's a man's league. Don't you think at some point there's a player, an older player, that says you're not going to come in here all cocky and rolling, regardless of your old man or anything else, and they're going to knock him on his ass?
Yeah, but everybody gets knocked on your ass if you're good. I mean, that's part of the initiation. I mean, but I don't think the kid's cocky. I'm trying to think right now if I've ever heard the kid say something outrageous. But he comes in, he says, oh, you know, I didn't play that well tonight, or I got to get the ball to this guy or that guy, or I can do better. I really have never heard the kid. Now, I've heard his dad say outrageous stuff, but, you know, I have never heard the kid say anything like that.
Hey, Coach, how are you enjoying the Players Only broadcast? I gotta be honest with you, and I said this when you weren't here, so I'm not just pandering and kissing your ass.
He did.
But you're pretty much the only guy that's listenable on the Players Only. Are you enjoying doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Players Only stuff. I mean, you know, it's a different vibe. You're not calling the game as much as you're just talking about that game in general, a lot, but in context of the NBA, of the entire NBA, you know what I mean? It's like, as opposed to just saying, everybody's got a big screen TV, and I never understood kind of when you have to say, Blake Griffin makes a 17-footer. I think everybody watches Blake Griffin make a 17-footer. So if you're in the middle of talking about, you know, hey, their defense is really good because of this or that, or whatever. You don't always get. I think sometimes on regular broadcasts, your thoughts do get somewhat scrambled because you know you're trying to cover everything, and the conversation sometimes just gets funny, but you know it just gets different, you know. But I know with the Players Only, the conversation just keeps on going. There's no really need to describe what everybody's watching on TV. So it's a different vibe. I mean, I like it. I really like Greg Rip Hamilton's a great guy. You know, Dennis Scott's really fun to work with. And so there's just a bunch of good guys.
I can tell you this. I mean, the stories and the anecdotes are what make it. Because when you guys have the time, and you know, when I used to work with our broadcasters, radio guys, you got to get every detail. So the play-by-play is the man. But on TV, like you said, you can see what's going on. So the color guy is the guy that's supposed to drive the bus. And when you guys are driving the bus, at its best, it's the stories of when Rip Hamilton was on those Pistons teams and running guys off of screens, or when you were playing, you know, in the Celtics heyday. That's what people are trying to eat up on this. And I think sometimes it gets lost when Greg or Brent tries to do too much play-by-play wise. They want to hear the stories from you guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like we had discussions about the difference of today's game and when I played. You know, it's you know, you get into, you know, guys driving, chucking cutters, hitting people, but you know, all of the hand checking that was available and how it really influenced everything in today's game and how it's different. But you know, I think that they're interesting discussions as long as it just keeps free flowing, and you don't have to stop that discussion to say someone, you know, hit a jump shot. You know, and I think they're all interesting discussions. I think that I see so many people just saying the old game was the only way to play and blah. Well, I don't believe that. I think I like the new game. It's different. And so when you look at statistics and you look at things, I just think some people are you know, don't take into consideration the rule change. Like right now, if you're talking about NFL quarterbacks in today's game, I mean, you got to see, you know, that the defensive backs can't touch any of the wide receivers. So, of course, they're going to be way more free-flowing. You know, I don't, you know, like people say, well, this guy couldn't play back then. I believe everybody who, if everybody put back in the 80s, after a couple weeks of shell shock and how much they got hit, they'd all adjust. I think you took a lot of the guys from the 80s and put them in today's game. Like I said, if you can't touch Larry Bird or Magic Johnson or those guys, do you know what they would do? I mean, those guys were like, I know you're talking some of the best players who ever played. Those guys are so superiorly gifted that they think, well, would they be able to play in today's game? Are you kidding me? I mean, they shined when they had everybody grabbing, holding, and trying to punch them.
And that behooves us to get into the number one topic in the NBA right now, which is rest, and which is the commissioner addressing it now. And we've had the conversation on this show about how do you police that, because, you know, you guys can say as a coach or a general manager, hey, he's a game time decision. And, of course, the fans get screwed. I said, well, you could have a flex game, but then have to report the injuries earlier, and to Barry's point, look, a guy could stub a toe in the first quarter or just fake.
Agreed.
So how do you police that, and what's the right answer?
You can't, and I tell you right now, I want to see this, because I've heard people say, well, the statistically they show that if your body's tired, you have more of a chance of getting hurt, okay? And I'm thinking, well, you know, show me that stat. How did Karl Malone and John Stockton play every game? What were their chances of getting hurt? Was the fact that they were really tough? And that's a part of it is those guys, if you think that Karl Malone and John Stockton never got hurt, I'm not talking injured, you know, you're not playing with a torn ACL and an MCL tear and, you know, meniscus and blowing your knee out. You're not, I don't care how tough you are. You're not playing with that. Those guys got hurt a lot. They took knees in the thigh, knee to knee. They played every single game. Show me this, like now, honestly, what they would tell you, well, they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that now. And I'm thinking, so let's see, you could do it back then when the schedule was tougher. You flew commercial. You didn't take care of your bodies. Nutrition wasn't a thing. You didn't have 17 trainers. And they were able to do, I want to see this. I want to see now it's easy to say, well, if you're tired, you get hurt more. But show me the statistics where you say, well, a guy played 5 games in 7 nights. And there's more injuries in that 5th game in 7 nights. You can step on a guy's shoe and roll your ankle and be out 2 weeks in the first game of the season, mm-hmm. as much as you can. I don't believe all the BS, and I really don't like it that everybody is just, you know, well, I'm not going to play this guy. I think it really screws the fans. I really do. I think that. And hey, look it. If you're going to say that, okay, we're only going to play our guys are only going to play 65 games a year. I can guarantee you that ESPN, TNT, the Turner Broadcasting Network, ABC, they'll say, well, I tell you what, then give us a 15 to 20% deduction in what we pay for put these games on and promote them and everything else. Then what we want our money back.
Yeah.
And you know what? That ain't happening. Because every, you know, and so I don't like it, and I can't stand that, you know, everybody trying to defend it. I just don't like it myself, and I think everybody goes through all kinds of, you know, machinations to try to defend it. I don't like it, and I don't know what you can do about it, honestly, because you could say you have to tell us, you know, 24 hours before, you know, a guy sits. Well, he could get the flu at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I have seen that happen, you know, and there's a million different ways of getting around it, but I really don't like it, and I hate more the defending of it than the actual practice, because I hear all these things that I just don't believe.
Yeah, and Coach, I mean, to your point, look at the pounding that Harden takes night in and night out, and he still manages to stay in the game, and he doesn't rest very often. So, but speaking of James Harden, that coast-to-coast drive to win the game against the Nuggets, does that help bolster his MVP, you know, candidacy? And what are your thoughts of the way he's playing right now with the triple doubles and the way he's kind of put the team on his back these last 5 or 6 games?
Yeah, he's playing great. I tell you what, you know, I think for James, and that was always my thing, and, you know, D'Antoni took a different approach to it. I think James likes it better. I wanted to get James on the wing, get out ahead. I think when he's going downhill in a break situation, he's really unguardable. But he didn't like to run out ahead. He wanted to stay back and get the ball. James wasn't a runner out ahead. But when you can get him going downhill like he did that last drive, was phenomenal. I think he's making his case for the MVP. I just think a lot of people like me. I've said all year long, I think Harden's been the MVP. And I said that with a caveat. I said, but if Russell Westbrook does average a triple double, which it looks like he's going to do, how can you not vote for the guy? And that's something I never thought I'd see. And when a bunch of great players, Michael Jordan included, that were all bigger, longer, you know, LeBron James, couldn't do that. It is an amazing achievement. And so as it gets closer, man, I've been saying James, you know, all year long, with the caveat of, unless Russell does average a triple-double, and it looks like the guy's going to do it. So I just wonder how many people feel the same way, like, man, are we actually going to not give the MVP to a guy who's averaging a triple-double and his team's, you know, in the playoffs, and, you know, they're going to be a hard out. And I don't know. I don't know. And I think Kawhi Leonard definitely needs, you know, to get some talk, and Isaiah Thomas. But I think it's a two-man race between James and Westbrook.
Coach Kevin McHale, join us. Coach, we got to get a quick break in. If you could stick, I want to get your thoughts on, if you were coaching against the Houston Rockets, how you would prepare and what you would do as we get ready for the Rockets. So don't answer. Think about that. We'll be back. We're just getting a quick break. No problem. Kevin McHale going to be back with a lot more ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Coach Kevin McHale continues on with us for segment number two. We appreciate him stopping in, as he always does, most of the times weekly, but we like to give him his little break so he stays fresh. So we give him rest every now and then so that he can come back with fresh takes that you people want to get into. Playoffs around the corner, Coach. I teased it before the break, but something that I really want to get your opinion on as a former head coach in this league. You're going against your former team. And we all know, and I've been lamenting the fact that in the playoffs it's going to slow down, it's going to come to a grinding halt. In a 7-game series, teams are going to focus on trying to take things away and make you do other things. What is the strategy trying to stop the Rockets come a 7-game series?
Yeah, I would, depending on the team you have, like if you're able to have a Wes Matthews, like for instance, when we played Portland a few years ago, or a Tony Allen, if you're talking, they'll just get up into James and just you know, foul the heck out of him. They quit calling stuff. They may call an early one, but you get away with a lot of stuff. That bothered James then. I think James is probably a little more mature right now. I think he'd be able to handle that better. But still, that has always kind of irritated James, just getting those guys up in him and roughing him up. Then I would double team him every single time early in the game, because he, you know, at the end of the day, James Harden's the scorer. He can really pass. He's leading the league in assists. He's got unbelievable vision. He's really a gifted, unbelievable offensive player. But he really is a scorer. He gets his juice from scoring. And if you double-team him and trapped him all the time and made him throw it to Capella on the rolls, made him throw it, you know, to Anderson, made him throw it, and just took him out of the game and made the other guys beat you, it's one of those things. Would James continue to make the right player, or would he start pressing his offense a little bit and trying to get his a little bit, you know? And so that's how I would play it. And you're going to have to live with some of those guys making shots. You scramble back out. You got to kind of just determine who you want to leave. Is it going to be, are you going to leave Patrick Beverley? You can say, okay, look, we're going to rotate to Gordon. We're going to rotate to Anderson. Capella or Nene will be rolling down the paint. We got to take, can't give up dunks. But who are you going to give up the shot to? And kind of direct the ball to someone and say, if we lose, we're going to lose because Patrick goes 7-for-11 from the 3-point line in the four losses, you know. But I just think that would be the way I would play it, because James, as far as is it gets his juice. He's always been a scorer type guy who can really do everything else offensively. And then if I got off that, I would just put my most rugged guy on him and just kind of just try to rough him up, you know, chuck him, foul him, just do some stuff like that, try to get him out of his game.
So you have a goon on your bench and you're throwing him at James Harden, in other words.
Yeah.
Can you, we talked about, because I said they would also try and double him before they, and get the ball out of his hands. But the other question becomes then, can you take away the three from them? Because Barry brings up all the time a good point that it's not just James anymore as a, you know, a 3-point shooter that can shoot it when he's contested. You got Anderson, you got Gordon, you got Lou Williams.
Yeah.
But if you, especially if you have to put two defenders on James or do things to take the ball out of his hands, can you still defend the three or try and take that away from them as, because it's such a big part of their offense?
No, you're not going to be able to do both. They're going to be able to get threes. You're just going to have to determine who you want to take the three. Maybe do a lot of, you know, there are times as a coach, man, you just got to do a lot of heat checks. You got to just check the temperature on everybody, and you got to say, okay, look, tonight, you know, Anderson's got it going, man. We can't leave him. We're going to leave Gordon, or Gordon's got it going. You know, Lou Williams. They have enough guys that can shoot the ball from 3-point. Trevor Ariza included, and a bunch of other guys. But yeah, you know, you can't take away both. No, there's really, honestly, in today's game, you can't take away the three. If teams are going to shoot it in transition, and if you're going to put two on the ball, someone's going to get an open three. So you can't take both away. But still, I would rather live with the, you know, with the others beating you as opposed to James getting 35 points and 12 assists. I just think that those are, you know, those nights when he does that are really hard to overcome. I'm sure there's a team out there that feels just 180 degrees differently than I do. So, you know what, we'll give him everything. We'll switch. We'll just keep people in front of him. We're not allowing him to make a pass. You know what I mean? We're just, every time he gets it, we're going to switch. We'll switch the big on him. He's going to have to shoot jump shots. We're just not going to give him opportunities to find other people by putting two on the ball and leaving guys open. But, that guy's a problem. James is a problem. When you're game planning for him, you've got to kind of determine, and again, after being around him and knowing him, I would double team him and I would take him out, knowing you are going to give up threes. You know, Barry's right on that. You can't take away the three point shot totally. I mean, look at everybody switches on Golden State. I just did their game against OKC. Everybody does all these things, and in that game, I think between the two of them, I think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson had like 28 or 29 three-point attempts between the two of them. Maybe three were bad shots. So you can generate threes. It's just hard to take that away.
Hey, Coach, we talked about this a little bit yesterday and the day before. If you're the Rockets, of the three teams that they have the potential to face between the Jazz, Clippers, and Thunder, what's the team you'd prefer to see?
Wow, you know what? You know, they all pose different things. I guess if I was them, right now watching them play, I would say the Clippers. Clippers look funky to me. They just don't look good to me when they play. They just seem out of sorts. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, for any team they play, that could turn quickly. You know, Utah's just going to grind you out. Utah's going to be one of those teams that's just going to come at you and fire away at you all the time. It's not going to be really high scoring games. They're going to be kind of muddied up games, and they're going to, you know, they'll protect the paint. They're pretty rugged. They really compete hard. And then, you know, I think the Russell Westbrook factor. It's just, can Russell have four out of seven games? He's not going to have seven great games, but can he have four out of seven? That's where he has those crazy kind of James, you know, we've talked about with James Harden, the 40 point, 15 assist, 12 rebound games. And that those are hard to win when you're the opposition. If Westbrook puts that up. So I right now I'd say probably the Clippers, because they seem the funkiest.
Coach, do the Clippers worry you, though, that they could put it together? Barry, we were talking about this, and I said, look, they can just say that was the regular season, injuries and otherwise, but they're deep enough that if they do put it together, they could be a problem?
Yes, agreed. That's what I said. They're scary. They're all kind of, that's right, you know, if you look at all the teams, they're all kind of scary in their own right. But right now, when I look at it, the Clippers are playing the worst, to me, of those three teams. They just don't look good. I did the game with them, and I've watched them. I've done maybe three or four of their games this year. you know, and they're just, I don't know, they just look out of sorts. And it's hard to really put your finger on it, but you're right. Okay, so you say that, you know, I'm just saying the Clippers, I think the Clippers, because I think they're playing the worst. But, you know, they bring that ability to all of a sudden say, hey, the playoffs have started, man, you know, this is scratchy, everything that's happened, forget all that crap, and then play better. And all of a sudden you get their best, you're in trouble. But I tell you what, though, you get, you know, Russell Westbrook is a dangerous guy to face with that team. I don't think you have enough shooting around him and stuff like that. So I'd probably go, like, right now, Clippers, because they're playing the worst, OKC second, because I think that their supporting cast isn't quite good enough. And then probably Utah would be the team I'd least likely want to play, just because they're going to be three or four of those games are going to be kind of muddied up, grinded out games where they're going to get you playing their style. For the Rockets, there are other teams that play well against Utah because I don't think that style bothers them as much. But, yeah, so, I mean, yeah, hey, it's going to be a hell of a matchup. Kind of any one of those three teams poses problems. And, you know, there's no guarantee.
Well, I got a guarantee for you, Coach. I guarantee you that because of this outstanding all-star performance that we're going to give you the rest of the week off. We're going to let you rest. You're going to take a couple of days off.
Fantastic.
And then we're going to bring you off the bench slowly but get you back in next week.
Beautiful.
Coach McHale has been our guest, as always. We appreciate Kevin McHale joins us weekly. Coach, hit him straight. Give the family my best. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Kevin McHale. You can hear him weekly right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.